What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, September 28th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside those baby blues, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
Verified on Instagram.
That's me.
How?
True. The rumors are true.
God, it drives me crazy. The Kinda Funny Morning Show goes into my personal hell of finding out on the toilet today that you got verified and I have not been verified.
It was nice. It was really nice.
Tim, usually we BS around a lot here.
Yeah.
But we have breaking news that happened. There's a whole bunch of moving parts. Let's get right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGD. With your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching it live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you, it is the final day to get shirtless Spider-Man on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, get the PS4 Spider-Man cover featuring shirtless Spider-Man, or go to patreon.com/kindafunny, get the shirtless Spider-Man fan art from one Panda Musk. Today we're brought to you by NordVPN. But first, before we get to any of that, let's get into what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some breaking fresh out the oven news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
I tell you what, Tim.
Yeah.
You came in a little bit later than me today. So I was gathering the news before the morning show, and I was like, it's going to be a fun, lackadaisical, slow news day.
We're just going to get through it. Tim and Greg back together for the first time in a month.
For a while, right? We'd be able to talk about the Gamescast we did yesterday. Yeah. That's fantastic. It's on Patreon. But instead, what I want to talk about is the news you've all been waiting for. It's what we've talked about a bunch this week. It's what we feared. There is no PlayStation experience this year. The report is coming from Jonathan Dornbush, the boy wonder of news over at IGN.com. He reports, PlayStation's Worldwide Studios chairman Sean Layden has confirmed Sony will not be holding a PlayStation experience event in 2018. Layden made the announcement on the PlayStation blogcast saying, quote, "For 2018, I know this is going to be a disappointment to some people, but we decided not to hold PlayStation Experience this year. We won't have it in the States this year," he continued. "The reasons behind that really are we have a lot of progress that we are making on our games. Now that we have Spider-Man out the door, we're looking down into 2019 games like Dreams and Days Gone. But we wouldn't have enough to bring people all together in some location, North America, to have that event. We don't want to set expectations really high and then not deliver on that. It has been a hard decision, but we have determined that this year we will not hold PlayStation Experience." Dornbush's article says developing. Obviously, like I said, this is breaking right now as we record this in the last 10, 20 minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's your immediate takeaway, Tim?
I mean, it's unfortunate because, you know, we always want more. And I love press conferences. Always
so do
a
I.
huge fan of them.
Yeah.
PSX is such a blast. It's such a great community event.
My favorite event.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially for the best friends out there. It's like it makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Right? And it's kind of like an annual pilgrimage for a lot of people. So I know that on that side of things, it's very disappointing. On the other side, I think that it's a good move for them to get ahead of it and not do it if 100%. They don't have anything to show.
Yeah,
I think last year was a good example of they had things, but everyone was kind of upset at how little they showed.
It wasn't what they wanted out of a traditional PSX showcase experience.
Exactly.
Press conference.
And I feel like if we're just going to go more in that direction this year, why even do it at all? That's only going to lead to disappointment. And when you add on top of that, the fact that we have Spider-Man now, we have a lot of the exclusives we've been looking at the last couple of years out already, or with Days Gone and Dreams coming soon, Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us, Death Stranding. Dreams. We all know that those are like, there's a big question mark around that.
When they're actually happening.
Is it 2019? Is it 2020?
Yeah.
I think a lot of this points to PlayStation 5.
Yeah,
we're getting towards the tail end of the PlayStation 4 life cycle of exclusives, at least. And I think that them not doing a PSX this year is a hint towards a switch to the next generation.
Vince writes in to kindafunny.com/KFGD. Again, before this news broke, but again, in a very line of questioning we've had all week. Hey, KFGD co-host, is it possible that Sony isn't having a PSX in December to save their announcements for an early February PS5 reveal? I don't go that far.
Me neither.
Because here's my thing, Vince, is I feel like announcements you would do at a PSX versus a PlayStation 5 reveal are very dramatically different. If they were going to do a PSX this year, it would have been, hey, here's the cool things coming to PlayStation and PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR. If you're going to do a PlayStation 5 reveal event, it's going to be like PlayStation 4 reveal event, where it is like, here's the new platform, here's why it's cool, here are all the partners we're working with. You wouldn't talk about PlayStation 4. You wouldn't talk about games that are happening in that ecosystem.
Unless the PlayStation 5 is more of a cloud-based streaming thing that is backwards compatible with PlayStation 4 games and Death Stranding, Last of Us 2, and Final Fantasy 7 Remake, LOL, are better on PlayStation 5. Out the gate. Have a great launch with these games that we've been waiting for forever. But if you have a PS4, you can still get it there.
I don't think so. Yeah, February's too aggressive for that for a PlayStation 5. You definitely would have heard way more leaks. Remember when we were running up to PlayStation 4, how much we knew about Orbis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there was definitely a long time coming before we got to that point. I don't buy it there. I think it is just what Sean's saying here, what you're saying, and what we're all saying, right, is, all right, cool, we're not, the chamber isn't loaded with enough top-tier content for us to do this, justify it, and make it make sense to everybody.
Yeah.
And I applaud them for that. Yeah, like, that's totally. The whole thing about this is, it's...
Bold move.
It's a bummer there's no PSX. We love PSX, but I'd rather there be no PSX than go to a PSX that is, throw out what you thought of last year, is a remarkable step down compared to last year or the years before it, right? Where it is that they do a showcase or whatever they want to, you know, what they called last year's showcase, right? Where I came out at the end and interviewed and Sid talked to developers all day long, which I thought was a really cool event, but it wasn't a press conference and had a visceral reaction from the audience. If you were going to come in and like, we're not even doing that. Instead, it is just come to the Anaheim Convention Center and see Days Gone again and see this again.
And as cool as that stuff is, because it is, and I think that's important to have community events like that, I feel like PSX means something more than that. And I feel like if they were to do just a community event, it would tarnish what PSX can even mean.
100%.
And they'll never gain back that momentum. I think with Xbox, it's kind of the flip of that, where the XO event has been
XO18,
it is just a community event. You can't just come to play games for so long, but then making a bigger deal now, especially now that they have Inside Xbox to kind of anchor it all, I think that's them trying to be like, look, we're making a bigger deal. Is we'll see what that ends up being, especially now that there's no PSX. It's kind of Xbox game to win, right?
Yeah,
at least in terms of announcements for the rest of the year.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I'm really excited to see what they end up doing. Is it just going to be a? Because my expectation for the Xbox event is going to be, at max, what last year's PSX was.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I don't think we're going to get the previous PSX's level of hype.
Well, what do you
showcase.
Mean at max? That so you think the Xbox event is going to be in a similar fashion or similar? Like, here's the biggest announcements we have, like something like Medieval.
I think the biggest announcements they're going to have are going to be deep dives into games. It's like
I bet they open strong with something that's probably already has been announced, but we haven't seen, and then I bet they close strong with something that's totally that we didn't see coming.
I mean, that'd
and
be awesome.
And in between there, it's Phil Spencer. Talking the talk.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I kind of don't expect it to be a press conference. I expect it, like they said, it's just going to be an Inside Xbox. I think it's going to be a glorified Inside Xbox, but still not this like game trailer. Like, I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be, here's a couple things that we're looking at. Xbox.
Bummer there's no PSX, but again, I think the right call. I hate it when we talk about multi-billion dollar corporations and then compare it to Kind of Funny, but it's similar to Kind of Funny Live, right? Where I mean, granted, I think we got out way earlier than PlayStation did in terms of there is no PSX, there is no Kind of Funny Live in 2019, right? Like, we want to take a year off of live events because we don't want to just do the same thing again. We don't want it to be lesser than what it should be. We want it to be
special,
and have that,
and we don't want to tarnish the brand.
Exactly. And let me tell you, Kind of Funny Live, what a brand. I agree. It's just funny, again, when you compare it like this. However, I don't know if you saw this. While this all happened, I was on the Kind of Funny Morning Show with Nick.
You were.
And I immediately dropped off and stopped talking to Nick and stopped co-hosting the show. And he did a great job landing the plane. Thank you, Cool Greg. This is awesome. I put this out, right? I think we should fill the gap. I feel if you're an audio listener, I've put out this tweet. Sean Layden has confirmed on the PlayStation blogcast that there's no PSX this year. So Kind of Funny will fill the void and hold a press conference the Saturday after the Game Awards. Dev/publishers, you want to be part of the Kind of Funny Game Showcase 12-8, Saturday the 8th? Hit me up. And then scroll down one, Cool Greg. I responded to myself and I said, I'm serious. To be clear, what I'm talking about here is like, let's do it. Like,
oh, I mean, I love it. We got Corey Barlog responding.
Yeah,
gotta,
Corey's not going to come, but yeah.
I don't know, man. Well, I don't know. To set expectations correctly.
Yeah.
What's your vision of
my
what this
vision
is?
Of what we're doing right here is that I know how hard indies and third parties and everybody works. And I should say, since we're doing the showcase and not PlayStation, I know how hard Xbox works and Nintendo works. And I don't know if we'll get anything from PlayStation, Xbox, or Nintendo, right? But I want to reach out to all of our friends who do this and prep assets. And probably, I think, we're in some respect, like, is there a PSX or isn't there? Well, we should have something, da-da-da-da. Like, I want to do a stupid showcase. And I think it'll be a stupid showcase that it's not, to be clear, it's not a Kind of Funny press conference again where we talk about an app or something.
No,
us facilitating all our friends and independent developers and non-independent developers who are working on cool projects. I would love that. And I think whether that means it's a 10-minute thing or it's a 2-hour thing, who knows? But I see it as, we bust this out of here. We put green screen up here. We come out in suits and we do very casual, like not casual, but hey, everybody, we love gaming. We're here to celebrate gaming. We think it's awesome that Jeff does the Game Awards like he just did on Thursday. We thought it was awesome that PSX exists. We don't want this moment to go away. It's a cool thing where we don't sit around and celebrate enough like cool stuff that's happening and what's coming in 2019. So here's our let's kick it off with our friends from Blank who brought this Blank.
Yeah.
And I think it's trailers, and I think it's, I want it to be new trailers. I want it to be, hey, we're the devs behind, we're this development studio. We don't have much to show. Here's some concept art and things we're working on. Yeah,
extended looks from things we saw at Game Awards would be the goal. Here's the thing, I love us so much, a little navel gazing for a second, this idea is fucking brilliant because
we'll see,
because here's the thing, no matter what happens, we get to create a moment that we all get to enjoy together.
Like, nobody supports the moment and Reset Era rips us a new one, but yeah, no big deal,
who cares, man? It's like, it's all for the fun of it. And
I want to be very clear, it's like, this is celebrating everything. This is at no point, like I talked about in the morning show when I put it up, right? Like, this isn't a, well, PlayStation won't do it. No, PlayStation's doing the right thing. If you're not ready to do it, don't do it. I think and we get to expand it to everyone in the video game industry.
I also think this is a very different scale thing.
You think so? Us doing it here with no live audience and just putting it up on Twitch and YouTube? Yeah.
But I love the idea of, like, there isn't really, I mean, Devolver has done its press conferences, but that's kind of even more of a
Limited
joke.
Run did a similar thing too, right? Of like, hey, they did it very jankily on a green screen of like that. I don't want it to be that thing. I want it to have the presentation.
Nick to work on it. We're going to bring the hype. Don't worry.
We know how to make a hype. You know how to make a hype video.
It's going to be good. This whole thing is going to be good. But no, I'm excited for it. And I want us to treat it like a real thing. And I know we're going.
Like I said on the tweet, right? Like, I'm 100% serious. And if you're a developer or a publisher, and like I asked the audience to go and at devs and publishers on that to let them know that we're working on this, my business email is in my Twitter bio. Like, I'm totally down to talk to you. But no, it's us treating this seriously. This is a real thing. This isn't, I don't even know, us being stupid if you've never worked with us, but most people.
What I love about this is it reminds me of all the times that we've kind of got the community to rally behind us to do something really fucking cool.
Yeah.
I think the Trending Gamer win at Game Awards a couple years ago was a great example of that, where everybody helped you win, which really means Kind of Funny won, which really means the gamers won, because your speech was amazing and it really meant a lot to a lot of developers out there and was a way to give back to them and at least have them understand that, like,
we understand them and care
about them. And I feel like this is another great opportunity to reach out to some developers that maybe don't get their games.
And that's my thing, is like, don't get me wrong, I would fucking love it if the Kind of Funny Game Showcase on Saturday the 8th ends with, and Bethesda announced something crazy. Oh my God, you know, bah! Like, if it is just, hey, everybody, here are a bunch of indie developers you've never heard of that are making cool things for the Switch or for Steam, or their games going into early access. Fuck yeah.
Let's get some cool shit going. Everybody, like, to go to twitter.com/gameovergreggy. Find the tweet. I'm sure it's your pinned tweet, your top tweet at the very
that's a good
least.
Point. No, yeah.
You should pin that thing.
Well, a lot has happened quickly.
It is.
We went from doing a dumb morning show to hosting a press conference post Game Awards.
But retweet the tweet, and if there's realistic thing like developers you want to see, tweet at them. Let them know what's up.
And here's my thing. You say realistic. Is anybody unrealistic at this point?
Nah, dude. Hey, it's up to us.
Apparently, Hideo Kojima can just whip up a Death Stranding asset for anybody. Come on, Kojima. Here's when you know we made it. If we can get one Game Awards trailer to end with, to see an extended look, tune into the Kind of Funny Game Showcase Saturday.
Hell yeah.
Should we talk to IGN about them hosting it too? Should we give everyone the asset and everyone just broadcast it like the Game Awards?
We should.
Hit me up, Per Schneider. It's a go.
Oh, man. I love how this is evolving.
I love video games. I love that we've gotten to this point in the industry. Let's have some fun, guys.
Let's have some fucking fun.
I'm throwing my cowards. No, you coward. Yeah, not, we do the kind of funny turn where it's like, yeah, that's pretty great. And then we just like really start tearing into people. Number two on the Roper Report, Fortnite has disabled boobs and shadow stones.
What the fuck?
The first part comes from GameSpot's Jordan Ramey. On Twitter, FaZe Agony pointed out that Season 6's Calamity Avatar's breasts jingle. No, jiggle. They don't jiggle. They jiggle whenever she performs certain movements or dances. Epic has responded to Discovery with the announcement that these movements were not planned to be included in the game. Quote, "This is unintended, embarrassing, and it was careless for us to let this ship," said an Epic spokesperson. Quote, "We are working now to fix this as soon as possible. It seems as if Epic has already taken action to remove this from the game. In a new tweet, it said, we have disabled elements of our animation system. This means you may see visual issues with some outfits. Thank you for your patience while we work through these issues," end quote. So yeah, looks like I would imagine somebody tinkered with that for an internal haha or whatever, or just to see if their system could take it, and because obviously physics in general need to be in video games, but it clearly wasn't meant to ship, and that got caught pretty quick and taken out just as quickly. So
yeah,
okay,
good on Epic.
Yeah,
for looking at this and being like,
that wasn't on purpose, wrong. And that wasn't what we wanted to do. Yeah.
This reminds me of the Ubisoft kerfluffle that happened with Watch Dogs 2.
The dicks stayed, right? It was that the vaginas were too realistically rendered or something like that, right? It's
fucking video games.
Fucking video games. Once again, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if there's any more statements put out about it. Because my thing about it was, it wasn't. If you didn't see it, obviously you can go on Twitter and get it. I only saw the one thing of her doing her dance in one of like the previews and mm-hmm. her breast jiggling. But it wasn't like when I think you think of like Dead or Alive, you know what I mean? Where it's like outrageous, this thing. Like, so I don't know if it was just a test to see if your character models could do it, or if it was something. I have no idea what or why. And I don't, obviously Epic's like wasn't supposed to be there. And I don't think that's what the look you want right now for the world's biggest game, right?
Yeah.
But again, they jumped on it and they corrected it. And these are things that can happen when you have hundreds of people working on a project. Meanwhile, to the Shadowstones, Kotaku's Nathan Grayson writes, as part of the big Season 6 kickoff, Epic added items called Shadowstones to the game. They appear near corrupted areas of the map and put you in a mode called Shadow Form that grants you a spooky dash ability and renders you temporarily invisible if you're standing still. You can't attack while you're in the state because that would be some serious bullshit. That in mind, permanent invisibility is more serious bullshit. Basically, the glitch was that you can keep going and you could shoot in this format. The glitch appeared to occur anytime somebody got down shortly after grabbing a Shadow Stone. If revived by a teammate, players would remain fully invisible even while moving and could use all their items and abilities. A few hours after these glitches reared their invisible heads, Epic pulled an epic and announced that Shadow Stones are out of the game for now. Quote, due to an issue with Shadow Stones, we're disabling them until we have a fix, the developer said on Twitter.
I just want to give a shout out to Epic.
Sure.
They're just doing such a good job with Fortnite. Yeah. When, like, let's add a whole bunch of crazy shit constantly. And if it doesn't work, we'll take it out.
Yeah.
We'll rejigger it, figure things out, put it back in. Or maybe not. Good on you guys. Keep things moving. Keep things different.
They're definitely,
let's get crazy.
They're definitely a developer, right, that you want to talk about doing it right, where hey, we're responding immediately, we're in the community, we see the issues, we're right on top of them, we have statements for all this stuff, like mm-hmm. right, how many times have we done recently stories about name changes or whatever for PlayStation, or not name changes, crossplay for PlayStation, right? And it was no statement, some PR word salad that didn't really answer the question, like especially for just the jiggle thing, which isn't like a full-blown weird news story, right? It's not even everywhere. It's just like a thing of like, yep, this wasn't on purpose, we fucked up, sorry everybody, like we're taking it out, we're not trying to make a statement. Same thing here of like, yeah, we tested these things and we liked them and didn't see this happen, great call, they're out, we'll fix them. And they did the same thing with carts, right? Like I'm sure a whole bunch of Fortnite stuff, but when we were playing Fortnite really hardcore, I remember I think it was that they added carts, they took them away, and then they came back.
Yeah,
they'll be back, everything will be fine. Number three, we have some Pokemon Let's Go. Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. Mm-hmm. Motion control clarity. This is from IGN's Casey DeFreitas. Basically, IGN got this statement from Nintendo, because there's been this kerfluffle. Can you play this game without motion controls? Does it have to be motion controls? They had a statement from Nintendo Then they had another statement from the Pokemon Company. Then they talked about their hands-on. Eventually, Casey summarizes, and I like the summary a lot, so I'm just going to read the bullet points. In summary, here's what we learned about motion controls in Pokemon Let's Go while in handheld mode. At the start of a Pokemon catching encounter, the only input needed is choosing an item and pressing the A button to throw a Pokeball. Is that right? Pokeball? Pokeball?
Pokeball. Yeah.
No motion controls required. This is easily accomplished if the Switch is completely stationary, such as while flat on a table. If you want, you can move the camera while in a catching encounter with the left joystick, though there is no obvious reason to do so. However, motion controls cannot be turned off. So, if the Switch is in handheld mode, is physically moved, the movement would trigger the motion controls, causing the camera to move with it. You follow this? So basically, if you want to play it without motion controls that you can't turn off, this is your Switch. You have to put it on the table so it's stationary and then like hit the buttons like this. Because if you're holding it, and this doesn't play for audio listeners, if you're holding it off the table and you want to use the button configuration, just jostling a little bit apparently is going to activate the gyroscopes and then activate the motion control part of it.
This is breaking my brain.
Okay.
Where that doesn't sound real. Like, you're telling me you can't just fucking hold it
You can, still but enough? I mean, I'm assuming you can hold it still enough. But how still it needs to be, I guess, is up for debate. So if the Switch is in...
Because my thing is, I've played Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
It's motion controls.
Yeah.
With the flicks,
yeah,
right?
You got a lot of flicking.
If you move and whatever, it moves the camera. Doesn't do anything. Who cares? I don't know. This just doesn't seem like a big deal.
Well, it's just, I think, this thing of the debate from the beginning, right, is can we turn off motion controls?
Yeah.
No, you can't, but you also don't necessarily have to use them. There's this way, at the start of a Pokemon catching encounter, the only input needed is choosing an item and pressing the A button to throw a Pokeball. No motion controls are required. If the Switch is in handheld mode, is physically moved, the movement would trigger the motion controls, causing the camera to move with it.
I hope these games are good.
What's your read on them? You think they're going to be good?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
I think a lot of people are going to be really upset that they're not the traditional Pokemon experience fully. But
here's my thing.
I've been seeing about it.
Do you think they're going to be more upset than they are now? I feel like the upset.
No, people are going to be into it.
Yeah, it's already come and gone. Like, if you didn't want this, fine. Odell yesterday was just like, I'm not about this life, man. I want the next one. But he's going to play this one because he's the Pokemon guy.
And the next one's next year. Like, it's so close.
Yeah.
We got a guarantee of 2019 that we're going to get Gen 8. Cool. Everything I'm seeing from this, there's a lot of disappointing stuff as a fan, whatever. But the games look great. Like, I can't believe, like, I keep seeing little cutscenes and GIFs being put up. Like, there was one yesterday I saw of Pikachu jumping up and, like, high-fiving Red with his tail.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it looks so good. I'm like, I can't believe that we're about to play a Pokemon game that looks like the cartoon. Like, this is awesome.
Fair.
But yeah, there's all the motion control stuff and, you know, how you catch Pokemon, how you level up. It all sounds very disappointing.
Yeah.
Will it be fun? Probably. I'm excited to play through it, and I'm excited to see what changes they make to the characters, to the story that we've seen a million times now. And I saw on Reset Era, someone was talking about how the three starters, Charmander, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, like, there's some story element that was in a cutscene early on that people weren't allowed to post as part of the preview event. Like, it's cut out when you watch people, like, Dave explain things. Like,
okay.
Things are cut out. And it's saying things that, like, those Pokemon aren't native to Kanto. They're from somewhere else or whatever. I'm like, this is, like, lore stuff that I'm super into.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
That's cool.
Okay.
Because, like, that could mean that, like, I just love the idea that the 150 that we grew up with and love, that there's shit we don't know about them. And that, like, maybe there's other areas or whatever that are similar that have other Pokemon like that. Very fucking cool to me. Okay. We'll see.
We will see. When's it out?
November 16th, I think.
Oh, okay. Still playing Red Dead, sorry. Number four. Oh, man. I was like, wait, rest in peace, PlayStation. I thought we were talking about this. Rest in peace, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. This is from Ben Newman at Twinfinite. Sony's take on the Smash formula, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, will no longer have online functionality on the PlayStation 3 and Vita on October 25th. According to an update on the PlayStation Store, all online features will be dissolved, including the ability to host or join an online game. All-Stars will still have offline features, including a campaign, quote, as well as local couch multiplayer in shared screen mode. Pour one out, man.
Dude, for the homie.
Now, you might say,
good.
No, it was good. All right?
No, it wasn't.
It was good.
It was fine.
It was better than fine.
It wasn't.
It was better than fine.
It really wasn't. It was like, I mean, I don't know. I have said a million times, they should just straight up copy
and
Smash.
And I agree with you 100%. They should just straight up copy Smash.
And I had a lot of fun with the game for a weekend.
Yeah.
That was it, though.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
was not a good game. Okay. There was something there. And it's like, it kind of reminds me of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Oh, Jesus, here we go. Just in another hornet's nest you want to kick as hard as you can.
Where it's like, they were amazing. Like, it was really good because it's all we had.
Yeah.
So the like, oh man, a PlayStation fighting game with all the characters together, and like it's like Smash Brothers. Cool. Like, we didn't have many Smash Brothers games then. We didn't have any Smash Brothers clones then. So I was like, oh, this is good. But now that we've had so many amazing Smash Brothers games, and so we've seen so many awesome crossover games and stuff that just are better, it's like, really, the game wasn't good. And the character lineup was a joke.
Oh, you're going to talk shit about Toro?
I mean, he was my main.
Yeah.
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 But when you look at Smash Brothers now,
yeah,
and it seems like they have better PlayStation representation than PlayStation All-Stars. Like, there's a better chance of Crash Bandicoot being able to fight Solid Snake and Cloud Strife in a Smash Brothers game.
Yeah, yeah, that's an issue. That is an issue, I guess, when you put it like that. That does come off that way. Well, rest in peace, all the same. I went and looked, because I remember I never platinumed the Vita version.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, do I have to move on this in case I do? And no, I just have a bunch of the single player trophies of getting through their adventure mode or whatever it was called.
There was so many good ideas in that game.
Yeah.
And it just...
Super Bob was a super talented developer, and if they could have gone on longer and done more and refined and I don't even think it made a sequel. If that game would have come out now in 2018, right, and it was like the current culture, and even if it was the same game, same problem, same everything, but you let that studio go, I really feel like there would have been like the mea culpa, where like 6 months in of like, hey, we're going to put out this new mode that is like Smash, and they don't even say it, but it is like Smash, where you don't have to have your special. That's not the only way to knock people off. You can do this, do that.
I mean, I still think that a PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale in 2018 or 2019 could be amazing.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not saying that.
And like, I there's just a couple changes that need to be made. But really, I think that the fatal flaw of the game, besides not copying Smash Brothers, was the character lineup. And now, if you had Aloy, if you had Spider-Man, if you had like modern Kratos, like all this, like there's a fucking lineup now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
I want it.
Number five. I think you want this one, too. Kingdom Hearts is having a crossover with Skrillex. Again, Jonathan Dornbush, IGN. Square Enix has confirmed that the opening theme song to Kingdom Hearts 3, titled Face My Fears, is a collaboration between longtime Kingdom Hearts theme musician Utada
Hikaru
and Grammy Award-winning artist Skrillex. According to Square, Kingdom Hearts fan Skrillex previously intended to work with Hikaru to remix Don't Think Twice, a previously revealed Kingdom Hearts 3 track. Their collaboration grew into a new track, which will be released on January 18th, 2019, alongside Don't Think Twice.
Hell fucking yes. Now here's,
this is like your perfect world. This is some weirdo musician, and then your game that's a weirdo game.
Weirdo musician. Skrillex is weird. But...
Oh, yeah, I meant Skrillex is the weirdo musician.
What makes me happy about this is Don't Think Twice, the song that we've heard in every fucking Kingdom Hearts trailer that's really awkwardly...
Don't think twice, Mickey. Get the Keyblade, Mickey. There's that guy with the hair.
It's true. Many guys with hair. That song I always thought was a little anticlimactic for being the theme song to Kingdom Hearts 3. Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 had such awesome theme songs that are so memorable that when this came out, I was like, this is a little... down tempo and not what I'm expecting. So the fact that we're getting an actual upbeat theme song, let's fucking go.
Okay.
The Skrillex thing, that's weird. I know a lot of people are gonna be like, oh, I hate dubstep. The music's always been kind of weird and electronic, so like I'm not mad at that. And we know that we're gonna get a dope ass orchestra version to close the game out anyway. So this is great news for me.
Where are hype levels for you with Kingdom Hearts 3 right now? I feel like I haven't heard you talk about it in a long time.
I'm really just kind of trying to, like, they keep putting out a lot of stuff. TGS happened.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm essentially on media blackout for it.
Okay.
Where I'm like, I'm good. The game's going to come out January 29th, maybe. I think it will. And I'm going to play it then. Until then, I'm not trying to get too hyped.
Okay.
It's been too long.
It has been too long.
My hype roller coaster for this game has been 15 years.
Yeah, you've lived
a long roller coaster, Greg.
It is. It's getting close to being over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 2019. That game's right around the corner. January 18th, 2019. The track right around the corner. You have to worry about it, right? But still, January 18th, 2019, so far away.
So far.
If I wanted to know more pertinent information, like what came to the mom and grop shops today, Tim, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Dungeons 3's expansion pack, Clash of the Gods, is on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Amnesia Collection is on Xbox One. Castronauts is on PS4 and Xbox
Cat
One. Cat Astronauts is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So I really did not pay attention in school on how to read. You know, it would have been helpful.
No, that's not your fault. That word is cat astronauts altogether.
See, I was going, I thought I was trying to make a play on catastrophe, and that's why I really got screwed up. Construction up Simulator 2 is now available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Deadliners is on Xbox One. Deliver Us the Moon, Fortuna, is on PC. Demon's Crystals is on Switch. Dragon Ball FighterZ is on Switch. Is that right, or is it Dragon Ball FighterZ? Everybody yells at me every time. FIFA 19 is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Freaky Awesome is on PlayStation 4.
Freaky Awesome.
Jake Hunter, Detective Story. Ghost of Dusk is now available on Nintendo 3DS. Jack and Jill DX is on Switch. Maybe this is the final time I will have to talk about Jack and Jill DX, a 10-minute platinum that we saw earlier this week that has been on every day now, apparently on a new platform.
Why not, dude?
I missed this yesterday. Sea of Thieves got an update called Forsaken Shores. It's free. And then Vegas Party is on Xbox One.
Cool.
Meanwhile, new dates for you. The Exorcist Legion VR gets its final two episodes on PlayStation VR October 9th. Is that the one we tried to play for the PlayStation VR show?
No.
That was Paranormal Activity.
Paranormal Activity, yeah.
Because I really do want a really good, scary VR game, and I haven't heard anything about Exorcist Legion, but apparently other episodes are out, and now we're down to the final two. Tim?
Yeah.
It's time for Reader Mail.
Okay.
But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by NordVPN. Tim, do you know what sucks?
What sucks,
Greg? Getting your data stolen, but NordVPN is here to help. Start protecting your internet experience today with 66% off a 2-year plan by using code GAMES at nordvpn.com/game. NordVPN protects your browsing and data from anyone wanting to snoop through it. They have thousands of servers in 61 countries, no data logging. NordVPN's Chrome browser is lightweight and user-friendly from the first click. Android and iOS apps are there to secure your mobile browsing experience. You get super fast servers, 24/7 customer support, up to 6 simultaneous connections, and an automatic kill switch alongside military-grade encryption. You can try it risk-free for a 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN is offering my viewers 66% off a 2-year plan. That's about $3.99 per month. Just go to nordvpn.com/games or click the link in the description of this YouTube video to sign up and start protecting yourself. That's nordvpn.com/games. Use code GAMES to get started today. Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I want to start with you?
Let's start with Bevarakovic.
Okay. Bavanovic says, he wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can. It says, I have enjoyed the recent run of spoiler casts that involve someone from the development team, but I think I prefer having a more frank spoiler discussion. Having a developer there means that you might not go into something more negative. Do you think you will approach all future spoiler casts in the same way as the last couple? Of course, last couple being Brian Intihar from Insomniac on Spider-Man, Corey Barlog from Sony Santa Monica on God of War.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've pulled punches.
I don't think we have.
And the problem, of course, being is that these are two games that we love so much and are glowing. You gave Brian the what two on Mary Jane and stuff and all
totally.
That jazz.
That's the thing is I feel like we are, I mean, we have, when these games come out, we have a lot of discussions not on camera about them.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about the negative stuff, of course, about the positive stuff. I feel like all the negative stuff we make a point to bring up.
I do too.
Talk it through, you know?
Bavanovic, though, I think... All future spoiler casts, honestly, for us are pretty few and far between.
Yeah.
It's rare that there is a game we all are into, or multiple of us are into, right? Like, you're not going to play Odyssey the way I'm playing Odyssey. Mm. Not probably at all, actually. And I think Kevin's been playing Odyssey, but I don't see Kevin and me sitting down for a spoiler cast ever.
Well, also, spoiler casts, I feel, are really geared towards narrative-based games. We can do a spoiler cast for Smash Brothers when it comes out. You know what I mean?
We could for Odyssey, though, if we wanted to.
Yeah,
right?
that's true.
I think the other vein of it, right, is Red Dead.
Mm.
And Red Dead is another game in this office that I'm going to play the shit out of, but I don't expect everybody else to. So it'll be me and Jared. And at that point, me and Jared would probably do it for Red Dead Radio, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that point, too, I think especially with Spider-Man and God of War, you're talking about two AAA narrative-based games that have a figurehead, a public face.
Yeah.
Red Dead doesn't have that, right? So even if we were going to do, everybody's into Red Dead, we're going to do a Red Dead spoiler cast, the Red Dead spoiler cast would just be kind of funny, or friends of kind of funny coming in, because I'm not going to bring in Dan Houser to come in and sit down and talk to us about that. Nor do I think they would. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not how Rockstar necessarily operates.
So confirmed, Death Stranding spoiler cast when it comes out with Kojima.
Of course, 100%. You kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Well, let's see what he gives the Kind of Funny Game Showcase on December 8th, and then we'll make a decision if he's going to get... Maybe we can get Norman Reedus to come in and be like, I have no idea what this game is about, but it's cool. Man. I'm enjoying it. You know,
speaking of Norman Reedus...
Oh, sure, lay it on me.
Do you have any interest in going back to Walking Dead this season with all the change-ups that they're...
Yeah, I want to see what they're doing, but the problem is... I want to see it in a way that I totally don't mind just reading Matt Fowler's report on IGN the next day.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? Oh, is that cool? Do I need to go watch that? I don't know. Yeah. You?
I think I might give it a shot.
Yeah.
I might be like, fuck it. Jump it into this season.
I mean, I know that, like, spoilers, that Rick's only and Laurie are only supposed to be back for, like...
First half of the season.
Or it's Laurie Cohen, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maggie, not his wife. Anyways. Yeah, they're supposed to be back for half a season, so see how that plays out, but... I've lapsed so badly on it.
It's been a season and a half. So.
And I have like three of the books too piled up. I think I'm three issues behind, maybe two issues behind.
I'm like six issues behind.
It's good. I really liked where they started going.
Yeah.
Well, let's do one more inside baseball from Chris. Chris writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg and Tim. Can I ask a little about Kind of Funny inside baseball? Of course you can, Chris. We're an open book. That's what Kind of Funny is all about. I saw Andy tweeting about how Nintendo wanted the Super Mario Party mode to be a bit shorter. This got me thinking. What's the relationship like between Kind of Funny and developers' re-party mode? When it's for a game that isn't out yet, do you get early access in return for providing some promotion? Or is it sponsored? How does this change when the game is already out? Do you need to clear videos editorial with developers, or do you just play? No need for numbers, obviously. Just curious about the process. Thanks and have a lovely weekend. Chris. So, Chris, excellent question. What you're seeing with the Super Mario Party modes is an embargo from Nintendo in what the restrictions are. When you see a game pre-release and it's not out to everybody and you get... Nintendo's here, obviously. You hear in those party modes them shouting at Mr. Nintendo, Rich George, formerly of IGN.
Not the only Mr. Nintendo, to be fair.
I know Rich's voice so well. I
understand. I'm just... For people, I don't ever want to get Rich in trouble.
Oh, when no, oh, yeah, you mean yeah, like yeah. When we use the name
the
Mr.
Name
Nintendo.
Is Nintendo. I use that for about 10
literally
different people.
Anybody who's here from Nintendo, but in this one instance, yes.
It was Rich
like
George,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. It's like a mall Santa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. The thing there is that when you see a game in preview coverage and you capture, developers and publishers get to choose the rules of what it is. And so the rule Nintendo had for party mode, or I'm sorry, for Super Mario Party, was you can only use direct feed footage up to 20 minutes per video.
Yeah.
So that was the thing of like, that's why Andy had to limit the
thing. So the thing specifically with...
I wasn't even here,
The thing for Mario Party was it was 20 minutes of footage and there was a lot of... It had to be edited. It couldn't be just straight through. I bargained with them and I was like, instead of 20 minutes, could we get 2 15 minutes?
Oh.
And he was like, I'll do it. Because I was like, I want to show a full match.
Sure, of
like
course.
A full 10 turn deal. And so, you know, we've proven our track record to be pretty good with Nintendo before. So,
oh, yeah.
So
and they
like,
know the product,
cool, we'll
which
that.
Is super helpful.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not so much like a deal of promotion where there's no promises.
Yeah, there's
all.
No promise for promotion. I mean, again, they know the show. They know it's a once a week thing. They know the Patreon rollout and stuff like that. You ask, of course, or is it sponsored? Super Mario Party was not a sponsored Let's Play. If we do a sponsored Let's Play, it starts with us saying, hey, everybody, we're being sponsored to play this. Or, you know, we have a deal with them. Or we have a shout-out deal. Or I mean, it's expressed that this is part of a larger package that is something like that, where money is exchanged hands in terms of promotion, which we do, but we overstate, I'd like to think.
A lot of the time, with it's not just timing. It'll be like, okay, you can play Mario Party, but you have to play this map, and you can't show this menu. You have to edit out every cutscene.
And that's just preview coverage.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, like, even like we were talking, me and Andrea weren't bitching, but we're talking about our why we're not streaming Assassin's Creed, even though we can stream Assassin's Creed. It's because they have a lot of asterisks on what you can and can't stream. And it's just like, that's too much work for me to worry about. Am I going into a menu that exposes something that would ruin it? I'm not even going to worry about it.
Yep.
I'm just going to sit here and play the game. And then you were asking about questions after release. After release, the gloves are off. Obviously, with Nintendo, you run the risk of them in their claim program where they'll claim it. Obviously, you've seen, you know, the kerfluffle Atlas has had with like Persona 5 in terms of where they wanted people to stop streaming, things like that. But no, once it's out, and that's the deal. Chuck writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, KFGD crew. The topic of digital versus physical purchases came up on yesterday's show, and I wanted to mention something about it that never seems to get mentioned. I buy physical whenever I can. Is it because I'm a collector? Nope. It's because when I'm done with it, I can take it into the store and use it to get the next game I want cheaper. This is a big deal for me as money is often tight. So I'm in no rush for the all digital future. I always enjoy the show. Keep it up, Chuck. Great point, Chuck. Yeah, we were talking about it very in black and white of like, Odell wants to keep a collection and likes to see everything there, where I'm like, I don't want any clutter. I just want it to be digital. You raise a great point, of course. I remember, you know, we always talk about it in very forthcoming that we're lucky enough to get most of our games for free. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I redeemed the code. There it is. It's in my library. Great. But I definitely remember being in college and even, yeah, well into after college before I went to work at IGN of, or even the early days of IGN. I digress. Getting a game and then to keep the addiction going, beating that game and taking it in to trade it in and get it going that way. I know that that is a thing for many people and we don't talk about it. It's a great point. Of course, the hope would be, and there's no proof of it necessarily, is that if we went to an all-digital future, then people would explore the spectrum. Games wouldn't cost as much. You wouldn't have to worry about getting the $5 off you get for trading in whatever. You'd be getting games, hopefully, $20 cheaper, $25 mm-hmm. bucks cheaper. But it could also fuck us over.
Totally.
Everything goes digital. Great. Everything's still $60.
$70. Suck
it.
You.
Suck it, assholes. Richard Melendez from San Bernardino, California, wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and gets the final question of the week. What's up, KFGD hosts? I have a question about the game of the year conversations you guys had yesterday. I know most of the big games that came out this year could win on a slow year, but because of all the great games, it makes it even more difficult to win. But if you had an underdog game, like an indie title, nothing AAA, to surprise everyone and win game of the year, what would it be? Thanks, I appreciate everything you guys do. Please give the chicken a break every so often. I think it's Celeste, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, for me, it's definitely Celeste.
What is your game of the year right now? And it's constantly evolving.
It's God of War.
Yeah, hell yeah, it is.
It really is. Yeah. And like, I don't know why I'm bummed about that. I just wanted it to be Celeste.
Sure.
And I just can't believe that Celeste got beat.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's so fucking good.
Yeah.
And The Messenger is so fucking good.
Yeah. That's the
it's
thing,
been a
right?
Great year.
And this is what I'm always talking about. There's no room for a game that's just okay.
Yeah.
And like these games are all great, and yeah, it sucks. There's only going to be one that gets it. Now, granted, I have a. This is going to be a year where I really do feel it's going to be a toss up about who, unless Red Dead is as good as everybody wants it to be and expects it to be.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a toss up in terms of who, somebody's going to give it to. If it ended right now, there'd be Celeste winning at some sites. There'd be God of War. There'd be Spider-Man. There'd be things we weren't even talking about.
Ghostbusters World.
Now, don't get ahead of yourselves, right? Ghostbusters World, they got a lot of good ideas. You can read the Andrew Goldfarb IGN.com preview.
Uh-huh.
He's got problems, of course, because Andrew sucks. He's like, oh, I don't have a connection to these ghosts. Fuck off, Andrew.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he wants fucking story reasons why he's busting Vigo. Get out of here, Goldfarb. Full disclosure, of course, I'm cast in the Ghostbusters trailer, but I'm also a big fan of it. Squad up, everybody. This is where you write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Mark needs help on the PlayStation 4. Mark's PSN name is Feline_Rampage. I am looking for more casual Destiny 2 PS4 player pals. I have a fire team of three regular buddies, but we would love a raid team. We've actually never beaten the original Destiny 2 raid and are going to be attempting to run this over the coming weeks and then get into the new raid when everyone's of level. At the time of sending, I am currently 526 and hope to be 540-ish next week. We also help other players from time to time get exotic quests and things done. Hit me up, Mark, aka Feline_Rampage. If you want to play some Destiny casually or just help out Mark, Feline_Rampage on the PSN. Tim.
Yes.
We ask people watching the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. What did we get wrong today? On your sexy new computer.
I love it. Beard and the Hair says, regarding Shadow Stones for Fortnite, they've already been reinstated just Ooh-wee. In time for the skirmish, but the port of Fortress has been removed for server performance. Love the show.
Thank you. We love
Thank you. Thank you. Kebab says, it's fighters, Greg. Like it's the 90s.
Okay, lame. Still lame. I hope this game stops getting released, released so I can stop saying it.
Capitalist Pig says, Maggie's actress from Walking Dead. Her name is Lauren Cohen, not gotcha. Lori.
Thank you. Lori, of course, Rick's wife in the show. That's why I was confused.
Zaire says, deal of the day. You can get GTA 5 on PS4 and Xbox One plus LA Noir remastered for $20.
Damn.
On the GameStop online show.
That's a good deal.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Oh, wow. We did pretty good.
When
the shows get short, you know, not a big deal. Ladies and gentlemen, let's run you through next week's hosting roster for the one and only Kind of Funny Games Daily. Monday, it's me and Tim. Tuesday, it's me and Jared. Wednesday, it's me and Gary Whitta. Thursday, it is Jared Petty and Steve from Nintendo Everything. And then Friday, it is myself and Funhouse's Alana Pierce.
Woo! That's a good week. Fun.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen to your heart's content on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. If you like what we do, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a couple bucks, get some goodies, but make your voice heard that you like this show and want to keep the mics on, the lights going. Remember, Saturday, December 8th, the Saturday after the Game Awards, we're doing the Kind of Funny Games Showcase, a press conference for the rest of us.
Hell yeah, man.
Tell your favorite publishers, developers, whoever, to come be part of it. They can find me on Twitter, or they probably know me. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been my pleasure to serve you.